Hi, Garner Ted Armstrong. Who or what do you worship? Who, what do you adore? Or, put another way, who or what controls you? Who is your ultimate source of authority? Who is your boss? Now, to some people, they may say, well, the Lord. Some wives may rather angrily say, well, my husband keeps trying it, but without much success. You know, a lot of people do not realize who or what they are worshiping, and yet they are engaged in a certain form of worship. If you trace the word worship back to its earliest origins, you will find that the most ancient form of worship ever known to man, ever documented in the human record, is sun worship. That ancient pagan peoples, regardless as to the amount of knowledge, whether a written language or not, that they had, were very quick, of course, to discern where life came from, where they came from, where little calves or horses came from. They could witness planting seeds in their fertile valleys in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, the Sumerian Plain, the Babylonian Plain of ancient Babylonia, and see where vegetables came from. And very, very quickly, as they departed from the original knowledge given to the original parents of all of mankind, as the biblical account explains it, which happens to be an accurate account, and which is absolutely not in contradiction whatsoever to true science, to archaeology, to geology, or any of the other sciences that might associate themselves with basically an agnostic or an evolutionary point of view. Wherever the archaeologist spade has unearthed evidence, it is tended to corroborate the Bible, never contradict it. Now, those people were very quick to worship life forms and the sources of life, which is why they began to erect a huge, big pillar in the plain of ancient Babylon that they called the Babylonian or the Tower of Babylon. Some identify that with a place called Birs Nimrud in the Arabic over there, which is a pile of rubble somewhere outside of the city of Baghdad near ancient Babylon. Whether or not that is the remnants of the ancient Tower of Babel would be debatable. Some have even falsely, of course, mistakenly supposed that when they built that tower, they were, quote, trying to get to heaven, end quote, and have tried to draw the analogy that men even then wanted to get to heaven in the same way that men want to get to heaven in a spaceship today. Well, that's a ludicrous analogy, of course, because even those people, though they might have been stupid, they weren't really that dumb. They could have merely journeyed to a nearby mountain, which would have soared over 20-some thousand feet up into the air if they'd gotten up into the Himalayas, and started to build their tower there if they wanted to get up into the rarefied air. But here they were down in this flat plain, only perhaps a very few hundred feet above sea level, building this tower. Well, the tower was a phallic symbol. The tower was a symbol of what they were worshiping, the origin of life, and therefore sex. It was a phallic symbol exactly as is the Washington Monument and Cleopatra's Needle in the Place de la Concorde over in Paris, and exactly as some of the ancient symbols were in ancient Egypt, Babylon, exactly as were the groves that the ancient Hebrews adapted from Sumerians and other people around them, that were phallic symbols or symbols of life and the origins of life. Now, in the ancient Babylonish mystery religion, the high priestess, which was the mother wife of Nimrod, who really originally organized mankind into various city-states and communities, and according to the biblical record, built the very first cities, that Babylonish mystery religion system had as some of its most important tenets various sex routines or rituals. And you see that carried on down not only through some of the peoples that were dispossessed by ancient Israel and were around them, such as Egypt and later on even Rome, but strangely enough, in some religions it is still retained today, and certainly the paraphernalia and the symbolism is there. Ancient Babylon fell 539, 538, the date is debated within 1 year by Usher's chronology and some of the others, B.C., almost, and some even say 540, but probably 539 is the correct year, though it is debated. So it fell somewhere within the time frame of 540, 539, 538 B.C. Here is John writing the book of Revelation about 92 A.D. So that's about, by now, 600 and some years previously that ancient Babylon had been beaten into the ground and completely destroyed by the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, why, then, is there a prophecy projecting the yet future fall of something called Babylon the Great? And why is the 17th chapter replete with prophetic references to mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth? And why is it called Babylon, and that God's people are said, in verse 4, commanded, told, advised, come out of her, meaning Babylon the Great, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues? And the answer? I'll give it to you now, and again as we go along in more detailed form. The answer? Modern religions, yes, even many which call themselves Christian, are nothing more than modern relics or remnants, you might say, of the original ancient Babylonian mystery religion. The accoutrements, the trappings, sometimes even the doctrines and beliefs, the mysteries, some of the liturgy, it is all there. Some of the ceremonies are there. The symbols are there. They decorate church buildings with the same symbols that the ancient Babylonians wanted to build in the Sumerian plain, which was a phallic symbol. You ought to investigate the origin of these nice, long, tall little objects they want to put up on a rooftop. And that's the place where you know there's a church, where there's some kind of a religious ceremony going on in there. Why? Why do we do it, people? Well, the Bible shows that Satan the devil is a very literal being, that he is a great counterfeiter, that he has countless millions of demonic spirits, that they are very influential, and that all of this began, believe it or not, clear back in the Garden of Eden. It began to really get headway shortly after the flood, and that idolatry and every form of pagan mystery religion began to be spread abroad in those early city-states built by Nimrod, and that Satan himself was behind it, a thing that is called the mystery of iniquity in the Bible. Babylon the Great, the mystery, the mother of abominations and harlots and so on in this earth. And it shows that the true Christians, the true people who understand the truth of God, are eventually going to be put to death by that mystery system in a time that is called the Great Tribulation, that is the equivalent of the fifth seal of these six seals revealed in the first six, seven chapters of the book of Revelation. Did you know that the trappings of ancient sun worship are found throughout so-called Christianity? Do you really know the origin of the steeple? Do you know the origin of priestly-type robes affected by some sacerdotal types, priests in various churches? Do you know that anciently there was a fake Madonna and child in the form of Semiramis and Nimrod, and that ancient Babylonia, one of the first recorded civilizations in all of history that can be detailed clear back in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, there was the worship of a mother-child, that many years after the death of first queen of one of those city-states, Semiramis, rumored to be the mother and the wife at the same time, of the so-called sun god, who was found as Horus or Tammuz, and the two were found in Egypt as Isis and Osiris, Nimrod, the so-called mighty hunter before the Lord, referred to in Genesis 10 and verse 9. Some years after her demise, the story was literally fabled or made up, that some powerful spiritual force came over her and that she was found with child of that spiritual force in an ancient idolatrous artifacts you can actually see all the way down to the Greeks with their Diana of the Ephesians and others, various and sundry, and there are many of them, even in India and some of the Oriental nations, Madonnas with child. Thus, the master conspirator, Satan the devil, had actually paved the way of ancient Oriental religions with false Marys and Jesus, Madonnas and child, claiming that the spiritual forces had come over this woman, and that she had had a miraculous conception. So these fables were swallowed very eagerly by the peoples of that day, and it was no great thing very easily when the early so-called Christian converts from the Gentile races came into the Christian religion for them to see that there was the worship of a Madonna and a child because they were completely accustomed to it. Now, believe it or not, in the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation, this great whore that is pictured as being called Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, who reigns over a great city, and who has concourse with the kings, military, economic, political leaders of the world, is nothing more than an end-time resurrection, and better said, perhaps a continuation, of the same ancient pagan mystery religion of Babylon. The Babylonian Messiah was called Adonis. It was fabled to have been a new incarnation of Nimrod after he had been deified in idolatry. That ancient Chaldean doctrine taught that Nimrod had reappeared in the form of a posthumous son, supernaturally born by his widowed wife after his father had gone on to glory. And they also taught that he had been slain for the good of mankind, so they made a kind of a false savior out of him. And it was a mystery religion. The mysteries had to do with various sexual orgies, which were authorized and actually became a part of the temple service that were still extant during the days of the Apostle Paul. where actual temple prostitutes held forth, and people went in under the temple prostitutes in what was called a religious rite. And these women were kept there. They shaved their heads. They wore various types of garb. And it was all a very elaborate, mystical, intricate, difficult to understand, dark, Babylonish religion system. And you know, even in other nations, we find the very same thing occurring. In Egypt, for example, the mother and child, the Madonna and the child, were worshipped under the names of Isis and Osiris, merely other names for Nimrod and Semiramis. In Rome, we find Fortuna and Jupiter. But you know, Jupiter originally meant Pathor or Petor or Peter the Jew, a Jewish Peter. And they take the name Jupiter, and we know it as Jupiter, one of the signs of the heavens, one of the major planets. Jupiter was the boy born of Fortuna in Rome. Now, still we speak of having good fortune, or that we were fortunate, which is a pagan, Romish, or Greek goddess. And we use the term romance or romanticize, do as the Romans do, because our language, our very language and method of speech is completely infiltrated with some of the ancient pagan expressions of long ago. In Greece, there was Ceres, the great mother, with a babe at her breast. Or as Irene, who was the goddess of peace, with a boy Plutus or Pluto in her arms. And even in Tibet, in China and Japan, various of the Catholic Jesuit missionaries were astonished to find the counterpart of Madonna and Child devoutly worshipped as it was in Papal Rome itself. There was a holy mother in China called Xing Mu, being represented with a child in her arms. And you can find this in a book called The Two Babylons by Hyslop. And other books like Me, Man, Myth, and Magic, and other books on the Magi, Simon Magus, and the origins of some of these Eastern and Oriental mystery religions. Is it any wonder, then, that by the time of the first century, as the early New Testament Christian church was gradually becoming apostate, that we find warning after warning written to the people of God against these Babylonish mysteries? Now here, writing in his own time as a contemporary of the Apostle Paul and many others, even though Paul may have been martyred some few years prior to the writing of the book of Revelation, we find the Apostle John on the island of Patmos writing not only his famous letters to the churches, warning them about a woman called Jezebel who was teaching actively within one of the local congregations of the Church of God that they should commit fornication and eat meats sacrificed to idols, but also warned them about the Nicolaitanes that we find today as those who are adherents to the belief in San Nicolas or St. Nicholas or Old St. Nick or Ho, 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 Santa Claus. And of course, he was found as being represented among the peoples of the early New Testament Christian church before the close of the first century. Now here, John, as he sees in vision the warning about the final collapse of this great Babylonian system, in the 18th chapter, first says, Babylon the great is fallen, the angelic messenger that came to him in this vision that showed him this was going to happen. And remember, as I told you before, ancient Babylon had long since disintegrated into rubble. This is talking of a modern Babylon. The reason it says is fallen twice is because the ancient fall of Babylon was only typical of what is yet to happen to a modern Babylonian system. The ancient fall of Babylon came, the year is disputed, somewhere between 540, 539, and 538 B.C. Later on it says in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. This is a clear clarion call to the people of God not to involve themselves in the pagan Babylonian mystery religions. The doctrines of those mystery religions had to do with the immortality of the soul, with crossing over the magical river Styx. Isn't it strange that even today, in some of the Protestant fundamental Christian religions, you hear of crossing over the river? Oftentimes it was used as the River Jordan, as being a type because of ancient Israel crossing over Jordan from the wilderness into the Promised Land. So it was used in mythology as the ancient river Styx and the journey across the river Styx in ancient Egypt, which would take you to the Promised Land on the other side. And so they speak about crossing over Jordan in some of the famous spiritual songs of our early American West and Southwest. And we hear about meeting on the shores of the river, or meeting on the other side. And every bit of that is merely pagan reference to an ancient myth of ancient Babylon and of Egypt, with a little bit of a refinement, using Jordan instead of the mythological river Styx. But all of the other trappings, Christmas, Easter, the idea of rabbits and eggs, one of the most rapidly procreating of all creatures, and of course, egg, meaning a form of the female ovum and all other forms of the beginning of life, whether seeds or whether sex organs of male and female, and that these eggs decorate trees in the little tree that was supposed to have sprung overnight from the dead log that was the story of the Yule log. And that merely meant the season of revelry, and anciently extended for several months. And you can understand all of that in my booklet about Christmas, even though it's not the season for that quite now, Christmas now being past. But nevertheless, if you'd like to write for a free booklet on the origin of a lot of these customs, where they came from, it could certainly be a springboard for additional research, and you could begin to find why it is that the trappings of ancient Nordic, Germanic, Druidic, and even Babylonish, as I said, Egyptian, Greek, and Roman mystery religion are found, almost a plethora of them, replete throughout so-called Christianity. Why? How did that happen? How did these subtle, satanic, Babylonish mysteries gradually infiltrate their way into the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Where did the change occur? You know that ancient historians will tell you that there is virtually a lost century from the close of the canon of the New Testament to your Bible, from the end of the first century until the dawn of the third, and that from the Council of Nicaea and Laodicea, 325 and about 333 A.D., you learn almost nothing except from a few of the so-called church fathers, and you can read some of their ramblings and see how far they were already going off, including even Polycarp, who was reputed to have been a disciple of John the Apostle. And you begin to see the watering down, the diminution of truth, and the substitution of Babylonish mystery as early as the 3rd and even the 2nd century A.D. Isn't it interesting that the sun worshippers had gained control of the visible church under Constantine, who himself was a converted sun worshipper and later on became converted to the then visible organized church, beginning to become known as the universal church of that day? And that he, in gathering all the clerics together in a council of Laodicea, began to urge that they speak with one voice. There were too many people differing on their ceremonies and customs. There were those who were adhering to the practice of Jesus and the apostles of observing the Lord's Supper on the 14th of Abib or Nisan. And of course, they were to cease and desist from doing this. Also, there were thousands throughout the pagan world, as well as many of the Jews, who continued to cling. All of the Jews, racially, nationally, and especially those who were the Orthodox, but the converted Christian Jews as well, believed in the seventh-day Sabbath. The 14th of Nisan is the date for the Passover, the keeping of the days of unleavened bread, the other annual Sabbaths and holy days, and of course the Feast of Tabernacles. Is it any wonder then that the edict came down that Christians shall not be found Judaizing by observing the Passover on the 14th of Nisan? And there raged throughout northern Africa and the Middle East for literally centuries the Quarto Deciman controversy, when systematically, eventually, through ostracizing, excommunication, perhaps in some cases torture and loss of life, people were forced to quit observing the original Passover or the Lord's Supper, as Jesus changed the symbols, on the 14th of Nisan, as did Christ himself, and began to be forced to observe what was called Astar or Ishtar or Ashtaroth, as we pronounce it today, Easter, which is merely the name of a pagan goddess. It was not only cleverly substituted by false ministers and false priests who crept in or who were already inside and who simply were working from within as well as from without, but gradually it was forced upon believers by force of arms.